Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
How about we just enjoy the walk? Smell the air.
We don't have time to smell the air, okay? Others are coming and they're way less friendly.
If they got their hands on what you're hiding, it would be a disaster.
What was that?
An Itchinok. Carnivorous quadruped about three times your height, extremely vicious. I studied them while I was still alive. These canyons are their hunting grounds.
Yeah, that seems like something you could have mentioned before.
Would that have changed your mind? Anyone sane knows to stay away from this place. She made it perfect for hiding the clue. These answers you want. If I give them to you, they might cost you your life. Sure it's worth it?
We've already risked our lives to come this far. We're sure.
All right.
Evidence!
You just want to start the podcast? You ready to start the podcast, Dan?
You can start it.
Feel free. Hey, Jesse, are you ready to start the podcast?
I think I'm ready now. Now I'm ready.
Yeah. We recently discovered it is funk now. Music. Funk. P-H-O-N-K.
Funk. Wow.
Funk music.
Wow.
All right.
I still don't get it.
Funk music. Welcome. Hello and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We're just going to fade that out there just a little bit. Okay, then let's just fade
just
it.
A little
just
bit.
Just fade it. Fade it back just for a second. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Sure it's worth it.
Okay, here we go. No, it's going back down, Dan. Don't worry, Dan. We're getting there.
What you did went along with.
Have you lost your mind?
I have not lost my mind. I've merely discovered an entirely new musical genre to me. New to me.
Yeah, funk music.
Funk music. I'm sure others out there may be familiar with it already. What did you say, Dan? It was a derivative of Nashville.
According to Wikipedia, it says it's a subgenre of hip hop and trap music inspired by 1990s Memphis rap.
Memphis. And you said it was Memphis, Tennessee, and not Memphis, ancient Egypt.
I'm making an assumption.
All right. I think it's a fair assumption. Okay. Welcome. Welcome all and sundry to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Last time I did this, they gave me chips.
Yes, that was very funny. Jet Reno is very funny. Good job, Dan.
Jet Reno, she's back.
Yes. Yes, we're all very excited, Dan.
She's the best.
We'll just have to get through this beginning part of the podcast.
You look great, kid.
And then we can talk more about Jet Reno. Okay, we have to go. We have our contract says these bullet point things that we have to get through. So I already welcomed people to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All right.
I must note, again, for contractual reasons, that it is the 236th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Can you? There's no way.
There is, yeah. 236. 236. That's how many podcasts we've done. We've actually done more because there's bonus content on the main feed, and there's additional bonus content on our Patreon feed at patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. But 236, that's the number for the main thing.
Yeah, 230. You took a long time to say we have 236 episodes.
Is that how many we have?
That's what you said, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't remember stuff past 10 seconds.
So. Is that what you said? It took you 60 seconds to say it.
I'll buy whatever you're telling me, I'll buy it. Because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how much does it really matter? None of this stuff really matters,
oh,
right?
Snap.
Okay, so
sure.
Episode 236, according to Dan.
That's what you just, I think that's what you said. I don't actually know. Jesse, is that right?
Hey, I'm buying it. Yeah, I'm in.
Patrick's messing around.
Whatever this is, whatever you want to call this, I'm into it.
Better pick up the pace.
I'm just saying. I'm down to clown. Oh no!
What?
the funk music has returned.
What?
Okay.
Funk invasion.
This week we will be discussing Star Trek Discovery's fifth season episode, the third episode of the fifth season. Yeah. Hello, and welcome to It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What was that? Have you lost your mind?
No. I'm just saying that what we're gonna do is we're gonna discuss.
Oh my god!
The third episode of the fifth and final season of Star Trek Discovery.
Wow!
And that episode has been entitled Jinal. Because
Jinal.
Because yes, there's a character in one of the many plot lines. There's like four. There's like four stories. They're telling four. There's an A, B, C, and D storyline in this episode.
Jinal Bix.
Only Jinal can.
It's good to meet you. Jinal.
Yeah.
Jinal Bix.
The titular Jinal Bix.
Jinal Bix.
I like that name for the symbiote, the Bix.
It's Bix. It's not Dax. It's Bix.
Yes, Bix. Instead of Dax.
And when they're
Bix.
Speaking trillion, you can
trillion.
They got a check.
That's a lot.
When they're speaking trillion, you can hear them say Bix. you can hear them say that. Check it out.
Karjan Rangela X Bix. Najan Rexla X Kalzara. E Jinal Rem Yotanu. X Bix Koshatu Dexter Motutor Na Garu Esh Haksajala Gokotor.
They said Bix like two or three times.
I got sort of bored.
You think they got like a chicks?
And they said X as well.
Is X, you mean X instead of Bix?
I heard him say X and Bix, but Patrick, what, you're saying you got bored? Would you zone out?
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the X and Bix Show. I'm X.
And he's
Bix.
No, can you play the music up?
You see if it matches?
Karjan Rangela X Bix. Najan Rexla X Kalzara.
What'd you know? Jinal
Rem Yotanu X Bix.
Well spotted, Dan. What do you call something when you spot it with your ears? What do you call it? You've spotted that with your ears. You observed it with your ears.
Sounding.
You say No. Hey, everybody at home.
I'm sorry.
Whatever you do, don't go on Google and look up sounding.
Oh, no.
It may sound innocent. And indeed, no shame. But be careful if you're looking up sound.
I want to go back to when you were bored by the trillion clip earlier. Were you trying to tell me something?
No. I wasn't telling you something. It was like a long clip of gibberish.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not insulting it. It's just, it's the classic alien. I will get there eventually, I know. Mm-hmm. But, the whole, alien is doing some ritual stuff. Yeah. It went on for a little while.
Yeah, it did go on for a while.
Right.
You said a joke earlier. Speaking of jokes and speaking of trills, what do trill symbionts do all day long?
I don't know, Dan. I'm really
Jesse?
Scared.
I don't
know. I'm thinking. I don't know if I'm going to
get
it.
What do trill symbionts do all day long? I don't know, slither around in somebody's belly like a monster because they're a monster.
No, it's not like that.
Okay, what do they do?
Just monk about.
Wait, what?
Monk about.
Okay. I have to admit, I don't get it.
They're just like, they were monking. Didn't you see a monking that whole episode?
Okay. Is this a verb that I ought to know?
It's like, sounds like muck about. It's a pun.
Is this what that song, You Ought to Know,
it's
is
like,
about?
It's like
the Alanis Morissette
are they
song?
Monks?
No. Is it you ought to know that the term monk is a verb? Is it colloquial?
Muck. I just said muck.
It's, oh, muck. I thought you said monk about.
I did say monk about, but
yeah,
that's it's a pun.
That's...
How is it? Because they're monks?
Yeah, because they're monks. And they're just monking about.
Yeah, but the symbionts aren't monking about. Those are the. I don't know what
they
call.
Well, Gray's a symbiont.
No, Gray's not a symbiont. Gray.
I can't keep track of this whole symbiont shit because sometimes refer to the slug and
it's
sometimes
the slug.
But then
the host is the host. The symbiont. They've used
the
both
host
terms.
Is the host.
The hostess with the mostest. Okay, I get the joke now. I have some quibbles with it structurally and semantically, but I get it now. It's a good joke. They monk about.
Yeah, they monk about.
Even though it doesn't apply to the, it doesn't actually work. We get where you were going.
Okay. All well, right. At one point, I was confused because, I think it was Gray or someone said Janal wasn't your average Trill. He was a symbiont host. I don't know what they meant by that.
Most Trill don't host a symbiont.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Only, so they're
stressing here the already understood lore that
that was Adira who said
it
that
it is unusual to be to get to be. That's the whole thing, right? And the whole gimmick.
So wait, Trills don't actually
most Trill. Do not have
so
a
where
worm
the slugs,
in their belly.
Where do the slugs come from?
The slugs come from those little glowing caves.
With the blue glowy caves?
The blue glowy clay.
With the funny, the funny little lip pools.
The
stuff.
Funny little blue glowing caves.
Blue glowing.
The blue
glowing
blue.
It's horrible.
Yes, it is. So that's where they come from. And some of
and the Trills and the
stinks.
But the Trills don't actually so the slugs aren't Trill.
No, together.
Together they make Trill.
They're like a combined thing, but it goes back a long way. But in Deep Space Nine, the lore that
so
you
wait,
learn,
like for example, Jadzia Dax, both of them together make a Trill.
Yeah, well, Jadzia is a Trill, and then she's a Trill with a worm in her belly.
So how is
she's got a worm?
But Adira said, Janal wasn't your average Trill. I think he was a symbiont host.
Yes. They are reminding us that most Trill did not get to have the one
so,
in the belly.
So or Jadzia and Ezri were both lucky in that, or not lucky, they were skilled and talented, but it was unusual
what we find out.
Most Trill don't get the slugs.
Yeah, and what we find out on Deep Space Nine at one point.
I guess it was confusing because they pointed it out so explicitly, and I was just like, it made me think there were. It's like
no,
there was something I didn't know. There was something. It was like, why are you stressing that? Part?
No significant spoilers on Deep Space Nine, but there is a storyline in Deep Space Nine where the
storyline in Deep Space
the
Nine
Trill believe that only some people are capable of hosting a symbiont. And that they have to be selected through a very careful process. And then you find out that that's not actually true, that actually most Trill are capable of doing it, but there's only a few worms to go around.
Only a few worms to go around.
So they created a sort of cultural expectation of excellence in order to get a worm. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Yes. So why don't we figure? Let's
early bird.
Let's reset ourselves because we got to talk about this in the proper order. So
there are plenty who would disagree with that.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What the fuck?
What?
This week,
all right,
we're gonna talk about worms and bellies.
What?
And those
what?
Crazy
you know
trills.
It.
Horrible.
This is not one of those YouTube videos. This is a regular regular old It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It's all usual
what?
Shit.
Okay. So
what?
So I know we
It'll
already
be fine.
I know we already started discussing this episode. But
wow.
I did think
you just like to fade out. That's what you like
it
to do.
I did think. You know what else
what
I
are
like?
We even fucking
hey,
talking
hey,
about right
hey,
now?
Hey, do you
nobody
know what
knows.
I, hey Dan, do you know what else I like to do? I like to fade back in. What do you think of that? Do you have any clever sound clips to play about that, Dan? What happens if I just keep fading up? What are you going to do
it'll
about
it? It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Ooh. Yeah.
It'll be fine.
236
right.
episodes in the bank.
It'll be fine. All right.
All right. Evidence.
It'll be fine.
Where will I stay?
Right. It'll be fine.
Fading out, almost as fun as fading back in, fading out, and we will continue the regularly scheduled programming.
Do we have any like opening stuff we're supposed to be doing? Was that it?
No, I mean no. Technically, we do. We don't. We don't have much, but let's go ahead and do that. So, episode 236.
Oh my goodness!
According to Dan,
you better pick up the pace.
Worth noting that this just today we found out that Stranger.
According to me, wait, I got that from you.
I learned it from you. Dan.
I learned it from watching.
Patrick knows exactly how many episodes we have. He's just fucking around.
So Stranger Things is renewed.
How many Rocktachinos have you had?
First of all, why did she say Rocktachino instead of Rocktagina?
That's a good point.
How many Rocktachinos have you had?
Maybe it's a blend. It's kind of like a Rocktagina. Gino mixed with a cappuccino. It's a ructagino with some foamy cream.
Milk in it, yeah.
Some whole milk cream.
Some targ milk.
Come on, Space Dad.
All right. Stranger Things. Why am I saying Stranger Things? Jesus Christ.
I know, that was...
Strange
what?
New Worlds. Strange New Worlds.
What year is it?
Strange New Worlds, the television program that we all enjoy, is renewed for season 4. Yay!
Yeah.
Lower Decks, the television program we enjoy even more, is ending after season 5. We learned that earlier today.
No.
Trouble in Paradise, genius.
There's no way.
You could call it being canceled.
It's horrible.
I'm not sure what else to do.
They're just
Trouble
saying,
in Paradise, genius.
It's concluding. That makes me sad.
There's no way.
So we've just got one more season of that left. But
No.
On the other hand, they have recently wrapped filming on the Section 31 movie.
Recently wrapped.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how excited I am about that, but Michelle Yeoh is awesome, and there could be some good things there. So it's something to... It's worth getting excited
It'll
about.
Be fine.
And then the Starfleet Academy show starts filming soon. So we've got plenty of Star Trek coming up in the near future. But we can still be sad. It'll be sad that Discovery's ending and Lower Decks is ending. And yeah,
I say I'm pretty sad about the Lower Decks.
I'm sad because it's an animated show. It could go on longer. On the other hand, they've already been promoted, and maybe they can continue their stories in other formats or in movie years. We haven't heard the last of
Lower Decks, have we?
I was gonna specify more of the individual characters. It could be that in the context, it just doesn't make sense anymore. But whatever, it's still, you know, it's still.
It is. I don't know. What?
I will tell you, Dan. That brings me back. That makes me think of the old days. When you said funny stuff.
A real shiphead.
All the time. Oh, yeah, the shiphead joke. Where were we?
Shiphead.
It's springtime. We really shouldn't be playing summer music in the springtime.
Shiphead.
But yeah, that's basically it. That's basically the front matter. We already mentioned
the front matter.
Patreon.
Is that like the front butt?
There's no letters or anything.
Letters?
We don't have any.
Oh, no. There's no emails. No emails this week. No letters.
Sure it's worth it.
We get letters in the mail all the time.
I know, right? Packages.
Yeah.
People send us.
With sugar. A lot of sugar. There's a lot of sugar. Just open packets of white powdery sugar that we get.
You're not supposed to.
And just like a post-it note that says, like, you guys are sweet.
You guys are sweet.
Yeah.
Jesse picked up on it. I was making a joke about
cocaine?
Anthrax.
Oh, anthrax.
Which is kind of like a 15, 20 year old joke at this point. 20 year joke.
Yeah, but I think people are still sending powder around.
Yeah, I shouldn't. It hasn't been long enough to joke about yet.
I think you can joke about it, but it's overlapped.
Sure.
Like something can still be going on and you can still start to joke about it after a while.
Yeah, right.
Like if the Titanic was still sinking, I think you'd still joke about
it. If it was still currently sinking?
if it was still sinking after a little while, you'd be like, okay, it's a tragedy and all, but yeah, it's kind of funny too. So Discovery season 5, episode 3, Janal.
Mm-hmm. Janal.
Okay, so.
Okay, Janal.
We'll get into the meat of this. We will stop all the silliness.
Janal.
There'll be no more ridiculousness.
None.
We have a number of different storylines. As I mentioned before, we have an A story, we have a B story, a C, and a D story.
Yeah, how about that?
Now, I don't know which order you put them in, but presumably you put the Janal story, let's say that's the A story.
A.
Janal!
And then you have Adira and Gray breaking up. That's another story.
Maybe that's a B.
You have...
Come on, Space Dad.
Saru and President Trina.
That's like a D.
And their engagement. And then...
The handsome and erudite Captain Saru.
Yeah. And then you have Commander Rayner meeting new friends.
That's the C story.
Meeting new friends. And he did it. So that, and they had an odd,
I agree with Jesse.
And he had an odd couple thing going on with Tilly. That was two opposite people going on.
Is it an odd couple thing?
Well, I mean, not in that they're like living together, okay. but they're working together in the same situation,
okay.
And they both have opposing approaches.
All right.
Like they're the exact opposite people. So it's sort of.
In my mind, the odd couple kind of needs the living thing, but
well, they're kind of living together in the fact that they're working
together. And a messy person and
even like that. Not so messy that music.
Well, I mean, but it's the point. Okay, replace messy and non-messy with talkative and like cold, and replace living together with working together on a same project.
Just replace all the components.
No, it's the same concept, though.
Switch out all the components.
No, it's the same concept.
This is one of those ship of Theseus issues.
No, I'm sure you've heard of like analogous situations that it's just you apply concepts to different sort of concrete situations,
applying,
you know?
Concepts.
It's like there's the concept, and then there's the implementation. So you apply the concept to different implementations.
That sounds like a ship of feces.
But I can't walk. Wait, and chew gum.
Did you say a ship of feces?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that.
That looks radioactive.
All right, so which story would you like to talk about first? You want to talk about the Janal story, the main storyline, and go from there?
Yeah, man.
I think that's a good way to break this down.
Story A.
It's nice because, you know, last week we had to squeeze those two episodes into one. We can. I know we started out a little crazy here, but we can
let's
we
still relax got time, a little bit. Let's start actually with the opening shot. I always like looking at the future fleet, like going through. There was some kind of teardrop looking ship things that are all weird. And there were different
clever designs.
And there were like big, different sized donut ships. Like there were these donut ships.
Right.
Lots of donut ships.
And then the space station looks like this weird flowery thing, as we know. There was a one of the ships was called the U.S. Lockerer, and that apparently was a camera operator who died in 2022.
Oh, that's sad.
So that was on the zooming shot. The CGI for that scene, it was a little bit, had that little bit of a glossiness to it, you know, that sometimes CGI space, it gets where it's like, you wish it wasn't so glossy, but it's like the future in the year 30, it's the 32nd century. So you can kind of be like,
pretty shiny.
It's like the future is fucking shiny. So it's fine. But like, I did enjoy that opening shot and it was another
shiny
one. One of those zoom in shots, the kind that I like, where it starts far away and it gets, and I like that the approach they did this time where it went like above and sort of sunk in through the ceiling.
That was a new shot.
And a new style of shot. And it showed them walking.
Not into
the
bridge, just into a regular old corridor.
Yeah, and it just showed that like how a corridor looks in context with
now,
the rest of
space. Now, do you prefer the term corridor or hallway? Or is there
corridor.
Or is there another alternative term for this?
Well, a hallway would be in like a house or a building. A corridor is more in like a ship or something.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm curious because I don't know. I'm asking.
Office building.
Open-hearted and sincere.
That's how I think of it. I don't know the specific like
corridor.
Like
what do you think,
Jesse?
What do you think about the difference between corridors and hallways, or are they interchangeable?
I think
a Davenport and a couch.
I think like
or a sofa,
like a
or a chaise lounge.
You can say it corridor in most situations, but you usually say
we had
corridor,
lived in corridor.
On a ship.
No, you're right.
On a ship, you'd say corridor.
Yeah.
What about would you say what about in a hotel?
Perhaps.
No, you say a fucking hotel, a hallway in a hotel.
You say a hallway in a hotel.
Yes.
So Dan votes for hallway. What do you think, Jesse?
I think like back in the day, you might say corridor. About a hallway.
What about corridor?
No.
Or in an office building.
Corridor.
No.
Hospital.
No.
Hospital.
Dan disagrees and he's using the power of sound.
Yeah, well, fuck that.
No, you're right.
He's got this tremendous advantage. He's got this tremendous advantage over us.
Last time I did this, they gave me chips.
So I agree with you, Dan. I think cool start.
And salsa.
I also agree. I generally really like the production design on Discovery, but it's not always 100% perfect. And sometimes they go a little bit more on the glowy side.
I tend
to like, and we've seen this on Discovery,
like
the really clean, sharp, matte finishes on the ships. Mm-hmm. I think it looks more realistic. It looks more naval. Mm-hmm. But no big deal. It still looks nice.
It was some good eye candy from the start. But like I said, it was a little too much sheen to it or something.
Yeah.
But it was cool nonetheless. And the shot sinking through and getting us to see in context the corridor in relation to the outside of space was always
corridor.
Because you can use that in gauges. Like, okay, it's about this big on the ship, is about this big compared to that ship, and that ship is this big compared to the space station. And
about that big.
So
relative.
So
spaces.
Yeah, you know. That's
floating in space.
That's it. We did no Locke this episode. Not much of Maul either. We learn where Maul grows up.
Oh, Locke and Maul, yeah.
And Maul Cleveland left when she was 8. She lost her mother at 14, 2 stints in the Emerald Chain.
So like this whole storyline, this is Janal storyline. It's fun. I enjoyed it. The puzzle piece thing, I get it. I'm having fun with it. It's just sometimes it's a little, I don't know, you referred to it in the past, these types of plots being very video gamey.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have anything wrong with that in principle, but sometimes when I'm sitting there watching it, if the acting and if the storytelling isn't like super fun, which it mostly was here, like I'm immediately taken out of it because I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of.
I mean, they and they straight up say things like, okay, we found the next clue, yes, you know, and yeah. it's like it's not really weaved into the plot. It's not like, you know, it's like, oh, we met this person and found out they were a jerk, so we ran away, but then we came across a bunch of orcs and got captured. Then the orcs were bored and played cards with us, and then we slipped poison in their food and got away, and then that's how we won the game or won the movie rather.
Wow,
you know, it's like
I want to play that game or watch that movie.
It's like there's a story and you go to it's the same. It results in the same thing. You're going from A to B to C, but one you're sort of it happens due to things that are happening. Whereas this is more just like, okay, we saw the writing on the stone and that told us a clue to go there, and then we looked at the drawing and there's the next clue and it's an Easter egg hunt, you know, or a treasure hunt or an Easter whatever you want Easter egg hunt. I don't even know if that's the right term. It's more like a treasure hunt where you go and find the clue to the next thing, you know. It's like
Easter egg hunt has like, you know, there's like plastic like, eggs and they got like jelly beans inside.
Yeah,
that's hot shit.
It's hot shit. they got coordinates from a clue, and that clue was on, this is jumping to the end.
No, it's just when you say clue it makes me think of that South Park episode with the Hardly Boys.
Oh yeah,
and they keep finding like they have a raging clue.
Yeah. Oh, no. So basically they're looking.
Please continue to say clue as often as you like, because I enjoy it.
And in addition to the clues, they also have to put pieces of the Triforce together.
Yes.
And so they have that thing going on too. Now, I wasn't.
Da-da-da-da-dun-da-dun.
Triforce.
Da-da-da-da-dun-da-dun.
They have the five-part key thing.
Da-da-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun. Jesse doesn't know about Zelda.
No, I do.
He doesn't know about.
So my question is,
I don't know what he's referring to in Discover.
It's in when they have to keep finding these pieces of a key.
Yeah, those little chunks.
Yeah,
they got two chunks now,
and they have to find five chunks.
Oh man!
And they have to put them together in that thing that they've 3D printed or whatever.
Yes.
Going back, let's not go to the end just yet. At the beginning,
all the way back at the beginning.
So at the beginning,
they find Janal because they found. Apparently, okay, did we know this before? Was this a fact that Trill's head spots are like unique, like a fingerprint?
I think it was at the minimum strongly implied.
Which are unique to the individual.
Yeah, she said that funny.
The individual.
And the Guardian should have records to help us find the current host.
Which are unique to the individual.
Find the current host.
To the individual.
I do know that the Federation is driven by a will to do good.
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 Find the current host.
To the individual.
Good.
Sorry.
No, that's excellent. Good stuff. Good stuff, Dan.
Good stuff.
Keep it up week after week.
Individual.
Whoops.
Good. Let's find the current host.
But yes, I think we knew that.
Okay. So they found these markings
on the chunk.
Was that on one of the key pieces? One of the Triforce pieces?
I think it was on one of the Triforce pieces.
Okay, and so
that's how I took it.
Yeah, that's what I took.
Because otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense.
I mean, that's how I took it too. But even taking it like that, it still doesn't quite make a ton of sense that these keys also have clues on them.
Well, it's to find the next key.
Yeah,
now, and here's the thing. I think that might be part of what makes it a little bit tricky to suspend disbelief, and I don't really mean that in a strong sense because it's ridiculous. We're watching fun sci-fi, right? Normally we shouldn't be worrying too much about these things, but it is not just finding the five pieces but finding them in a specific order,
right?
That's what it's not only video gamey, it's like old video gamey. It's like 1990s video gamey.
Yeah, right. it's not open-ended.
Isn't that
right?
What they did in like the second season?
A little bit.
In last season, they had a video game section, but that was just figuring out the puzzle.
But, you know, even in the second season, you know, I guess they did find those the red matter things in a certain order, but I don't remember feeling that it had to be in a specific order. You know, so look, if you're playing a modern game, like say The Witcher or one of the new Zelda games or something.
Or like one of the Bethesda games.
You gotta
like
accomplish
all these things,
but there is some latitude into the order you can accomplish.
Yeah, exactly.
So even though we've been using this analogy of sort of the video game, that falls apart unless you're reverting back to sort of an older form of single player video game that was a little bit more linear.
It was, and that was what's interesting. That reminded me is that most games like back in the Nintendo Entertainment System era was like that. But it made me think of Mega Man because Mega Man, you could choose any level you wanted at any given time, tight. And that was like all cool. It's like, whoa, I don't have to play 1 through 10. I can fight like Spike Man or Vacuum Man or whatever man. Like
Vacuum Man.
There were all sorts of weird
Particle
dudes
Man.
Yeah, I don't know if there was actually a particle, man. That's
no,
a good
I'm
question.
Just talking
no,
shit.
I know, but there might have been.
Or is he a speck when he's underwater? Does he get wet?
Man.
Or does the water Get him instead.
Whoa.
Nobody knows. Particle Man.
Whoa.
Okay, so I guess that leads back into the end clue, because they were talking about she, Burnham, Burn.
Hey, Burnham. Hey. Watch
what?
That. Watch that, everybody. Burnham's got the end clue.
In the script, it said that in the stage directions, it's like Burnham finds the end clue.
Would that have changed your mind?
Your mind?
Your mind? Your mind?
Goofy.
So, at the end, Burnham says that they found...
Burnham, sorry, I'm not making fun of you.
It's not even...
I'm amused
when people mispronounce words.
No.
Is it funny to you? Because you're like, ha-ha, they know so little of the English language. See, look, they are not nearly as smart as me.
See, I know that's how you... I know you...
As smart as I.
No, you,
smart as I.
As smart as I am. Conclude the sentence to know as smart as me am. Or
yeah,
I am.
Know. Okay. I am aware.
So you did a good job there.
Me.
No, I know you...
To whom are you referring?
You interpreted as condescension when it's not even as coherent as condescension. It's just...
how funny silly. Sounds.
It's a funny sound because you're all like Burnham.
Okay.
No, it was like earlier off before the podcast, you were talking about detective shows, and every time you said that you enjoy watching detective shows, it sounded like you were stuttering, but you weren't.
You were just saying detective.
You're just saying like you like to watch detective shows.
Yeah.
But why don't you say the word detective?
Detective.
See, it sounded sort of like you stuttered.
Not when you're thinking about the word detective.
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 All right. So you were saying.
So Burnham at the end.
When she finds the end clue.
I don't think it's a stuttering. He just has a very crisp teeth.
Very crisp teeth. Mm. They said, did they say skin of our, they said skin of your teeth in this episode, didn't they?
I don't know. Did they? You're the
keeper
of the...
Yeah, book said...
You're
book
the keeper
said,
of the scripts.
Book you know
said,
about the teeth.
Book said skin of our teeth, which I think is arguably grosser than keep your eyes peeled. Skin of your teeth. Right. I think about like skinning
the
my...
enamel, just scraping the enamel
with a carrot peeler.
Taking
peeler
your
or
teeth
something.
Out and your teeth falling
just
out.
Filing, no, not, how about not, filing it down, filing your teeth down?
Yeah, either filing your teeth or I would say...
With an awl. You know, an awl?
Yeah.
Like an AWL?
I was talking.
All?
As
I was
opposed to AL.
I was talking about with a carrot peeler. You'd skin your teeth.
No, I understand. I was offering an alternative and perhaps even more
or
hideous.
Or your skin is made of teeth is made of skin.
Ew.
On the edge. All. I don't know about awls, Patrick.
I don't know about that.
I know it sounds gross.
Okay, look. I'm just trying to say Burnham.
The French.
That's the French alarm, which means it's time for us to take a break.
I've been trying to make this point for like 5 minutes.
You want to make the point quickly,
or do you want to make it when we get back?
I guess we'll make it when we get back.
All make right. it.
Hey, everybody.
Let's make it.
We're going to be right back. Don't worry. And when we come back, Dan's got a point to make.
Point to break.
Janelle has left you.
we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Hello. Welcome.
What was that?
We have returned. We have returned to the show.
So I was saying they found the Janal's face markings on the first piece of the Triforce.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it, Burnham says that they got coordinates from their most recent clue. But I don't remember them ever specifically saying that they were looking for coordinates on that clue. It was just kind of assumed that that's what they were doing.
She's just saying that that's
they
how
weren't
they, gonna
that's tell
how
they, you
like they didn't that. They didn't even show it to you. They weren't even like, hey, look, here's the next coordinates. Like they found the piece and I was like, oh great, they found the next piece, now they have the next piece, now what? And then they kind of, unless I missed something, they just kind of jumped to her saying, oh yeah, and by the way, we got these coordinates off this piece. So and it's like they never actually showed that happening.
You're right. And the key here is, this is where we have to not quibble too much if we're going to enjoy the show, because there's so much other enjoyable aspects about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just got this series of MacGuffins. It's a MacGuffin storyline. This is nothing new to Discovery. It seems like it's a little bit more straightforward and simplistic, maybe on purpose this season, so that they could make things a little bit more contained and episodic. Because while this is clearly a continuation from the first two episodes and a chunk of this season-long arc, it did have a little bit more of the old school, like, here we're just telling a story. The Janal one being the real continuation of the season-long arc. And then these other storylines that are more about character building and character development and stuff like that. So, again, it can be a little aggravating to be like, okay, all right, this goes to this.
Right.
But then we get to see fun stuff, like Dr. Kolber. Playing Janal, which is a reference, a recalling of the Deep Space Nine episode Facets, in which Jadzia Dax goes through a similar ceremony in which all of her hosts are put into her colleagues, and they get to, she gets to chat with them. And the gag in that episode is that the host that goes into Odo is having too much fun and he doesn't want to go back. And they had hints of that here. It wasn't ever going to happen, but Janal had that whole talking about how, like, whoa, this guy works out, and
this guy really works out,
and he was doing the funny deep voice, you know,
this guy really works out.
He like unzipped his uniform,
doing all casual.
You ask a lot of questions,
but it's always fun when you.
We don't have time. It'll be fine
when you have brilliant actors. And you give that brilliant actor who's developed an excellent character a chance to play a different character, right?
All right.
And sci-fi is always a great opportunity for that. Star Trek gives us all manner of justifications for why that might happen. And this, I thought, was very charming, very fun to see them having to interact with this.
I still don't get it.
Janal character.
What year is it?
Even if the actual thing they were doing was a little like, okay, right there.
And it's Janok. It's part of my job. You ask a lot of questions.
Hey, I have a joke for you.
Uh-oh.
So
a Shantara.
Wait, let me start again.
Okay.
So
a Shantara.
Okay.
The handsome and erudite Captain Saru. Okay.
And
an Ijanak.
Walk into a bar.
Okay.
That's a joke.
That's not a joke. That's a setup to a joke.
So check it.
It's a confusingly presented setup to a joke.
Wait, check it out. I got a joke.
A Shantara.
The handsome and erudite Captain Saru.
And
an Ijanak.
Walk into a bar.
See? And then what happens?
Again. First of all.
you like adding a spark to a keg of caper nut.
You just played the same three clips again.
Okay, wait. I found the punchline. Okay,
but there's no punchline. Where's the punchline?
No, I got it. So check it out.
A Shantara.
The handsome and erudite Captain Saru.
And
an Ijanak.
Walk into a bar.
Okay.
Be like adding a spark to a keg of caper nut.
Okay, that's not
that's the joke.
That's not a joke.
It's not a joke, dude. Okay.
See, damn. That's what happens when they walk into a bar. You're right. Expecting the bartender to say something, but instead it just blows up. So, by the way, that's a simile, isn't it? Not a simile? Do Vulcans speak in simile?
No.
Well, similes, metaphors, and it's like analogies.
It's like you're making a joke about jokes if you're from like a civilization that doesn't have jokes.
By the way, audience, just so you know, Dan is from a civilization that doesn't have jokes. That's why as funny as he is, he's a funny character. He doesn't ever seem to understand the structure of a joke.
I thought that was a brilliant joke.
Dan comes from a planet isolated. Called Setup.
So this line...
like adding a spark to a keg of caper dye.
Okay. That would be a simile, wouldn't it? Like
it's because they use a like.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
That makes it a
that's
simile.
That's what you're talking about.
So Vulcans, I never thought of Vulcans speaking in simile before. Anyway, that's kind of
was that
off
a Vulcan
topic.
Speaking? Or
that was Dr. Duvin or Mr. Duvin.
Mr. Duvin.
Mr. Duvin.
Mr. Duvin.
Mr. Duvin. Paging Mr. Duvin.
Paging Mr. Duvin.
You have a telephone call.
That was her. That was President Trina's attaché fella. Was he the one who said it?
Yeah.
What was it again? What did he say again?
Be like adding a spark to a keg of caper dye.
In reference to Saru and her like getting married.
And why is he talking about kyber crystals?
Caper dye. He's talking about like.
But these are new Vulcans.
He's talking about how like.
He might be part of Romulan.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. These are new Vulcans. Maybe they got.
These aren't your granddaddy's Vulcan.
Damn right.
These are brand spanking new Nevarans.
What?
No, because he was saying no.
Don't you know about the Nevarans?
No, because oh man.
Hey everybody, welcome to the planet Nevar.
It's got a plan
we
with nothing on
logical
it.
Logical and boring.
Ask a lot of questions.
We added a little bit of spice somewhere along the line, and now we're fun, sexy beasts.
What?
Fuck that! Every 7 years, bullshit. We can have sex whenever we want. And
what?
We can sneak around. We can do all sorts of sneaky stuff and have secret doors and stuff, just like our Romulan cousins.
What?
But
what?
All right.
He said it because, like, he was telling Saru not to marry, not to announce the marriage to Tarina, because he said with the purest Vulcans, it would be like adding a blowing up some shit.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I understood that. I understood.
Well, then you were talking, but you were asking Patrick. You were like kyber crystals, like
kyber crystals.
Were you just being silly, or were
kyber.
You were questioning what I said? Why were you questioning what I said? I was simply answering your question, and then when I answered your question, you said, "Oh, I knew that." So you can't ask a question and then have it answered and then respond with, "Oh, I knew that already." Again, Dan. I knew that. I was just testing you.
Again, Dan. I hesitate to point this out because I you know.
Oh, I knew that. I was just testing you.
No, no. I was making the Kyber crystal joke is a Star Wars joke, right? You use Kyber crystals in order to make
But you were asking me a question.
Yeah. No, I was leveraging the information that the audio information that you had provided to make a sort of Star Wars joke.
There's no way.
There, yes, and it's extra funny because this is a Star Trek podcast.
Shiphead.
So every now and then, inserting a little reference to that other franchise, it tickles the audience. Trust me.
Shiphead.
Yeah, there's Darth people, Vader, baby.
There's people. Shiphead. There's people sitting at home right now. They're tickled. They're tickled. The ones that are still that listening, makes sense. They're tickled.
Mm.
Come on, Space Dad.
All right. Well, I've lost my notes.
Okay. Well, we were on. The Kohlberg got possessed. I like how he was so nonchalant about it. Like they were like, "This is gonna be a tax on your emotions right. or whatever." And he's like, "I got it. Don't worry."
He lives with that other guy.
He lives with Stamets. Yes. Yeah. So what does that have to do with it?
Well,
Stamets is a lot.
He is a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
It's a lot.
When Tilly was
I
saying,
like him, but he's a
when
lot.
When Tilly was saying to Rainer, when she was like. That's the first time I've seen him like this excited about something in a long time. I was like, "Aw, Stamets, poor Stamets."
He's always been sad about the whole decommissioning of the Spore Drive.
Oh yeah, and that's why he was getting all excited about this new thing.
This is even better than the Spore Drive.
Because he was talking about
even better
the progenitor tech, and he was all excited because of all the applications. Because he was probably like, "This is my chance to be remembered." Although he'll probably be remembered for that Spore Drive. You know, that's pretty. That's newsworthy.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think Stamets is going to get his in the end? Like his good.
You said that last week, and you gotta come up with a better way to phrase it because it sounds like a threat. He sounds like he's going to get murdered.
He's going to get it.
It'll be fine.
In the end,
if what you mean is by the end of the series, will Stamets have found a position in life that accommodates whatever psychological insecurities he has about his legacy? Yes, I do think. Probably.
I hope the Spore Drive works out. I hope they use the progenitor tech to make the Spore Drive navigable.
But just by creating a navigator, like cloning, like creating from scratch a life form specifically designed to navigate using the Spore Drive.
Yeah, or like a slug, or like a new kind of slug, not a Trill slug, but another kind of slug you put in you that gives you the power to navigate.
Okay, I believe part of the problem they have with the Spore Drive is the moral problems with having either a genetically modified a person like Stamets the water bear creature.
They can just create a whole species of life that their only job is to pilot those ships and then you have to keep them in there and strap them in so they can't get away.
It sounds problematic, dude.
Enslave.
I was being silly.
Craft a slave a slave race. I get what you're saying.
I'm just playing. I was being silly.
I'm just being
silly, Billy.
All right. So what I was going to say is I wasn't a big fan of the upside down camera transition, and it looked cool.
Oh wait, wait. It was
looked cool.
So
when they went with Janal to the cavern.
It was on Saru's face. Then it went up to the whiteness of the inside of the future space station, and then it faded to whiteness of the sky down to the Janal. And they were using some kind of wide angle something or other because it was all the middle was moving faster than the outside parts.
That looked cool. Here's my...
It was just kind of it didn't really wasn't...
It's my light critique.
There wasn't any sort of symbolism to it or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely, Dan. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a radical camera move, it can't simply be neat. You need to be doing something, contributing something to the story, whether it's unsettling somebody, disorienting somebody. And by the way, Discovery has used these shots well to contribute to the characterization of the people in the scene or to set the...
It's the people in the scene.
To set the flavor of the scene somehow.
You won't know until they're seen. The people in the scene.
I am not as big a fan when it's just sort of it's fine. Let's just do this. It'll be clever.
Well, that's what I was saying. When they went to the Matrix construct thing with Kovic, I think that was the first episode where it was in the white background. They did a spinny maneuver, and that to me was right on the border because
it was disorienting, which you would be disoriented if you appeared in a white blankness.
But at the same time, you could tell they were just trying to be kind of flashy about it. So it was
which is fine if it has a purpose.
But to me, that was right in the dead center. So, but when they do the ship zoom in shots. Now, one thing they're always doing is an engineer, when they have that digital holo display.
In the engineering.
In the engineering, and there's someone on either side, they're always circling around. That kind of drives me a little nuts.
Yeah, it makes me a little ill sometimes.
Yeah, but I always like the zoom in shots to give perspective to the ships and the space.
At the end of this episode, they had a series of shots with Saru narrating and stuff where you see the sort of resolutions to all the little storylines throughout the episode fading into one of each other. You know, it wasn't hard cuts. That worked well. I thought that was, it was a denouement to the story, and it was it was good. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy this one so much, but again, I don't like to be down on them, because it was an interesting idea to have part of this secret be held in the memory of an 800-year-old worm creature.
What if she died? Then they would have lost it.
Yeah, that's the negative part of it, where you're like, okay. And it's very convenient that they're showing up exactly on time for all these.
And I wasn't sure where he was where he ended up hiding the key, because it looked like he just went hid it under some other.
Yeah,
rock.
he just grabbed it off of some other.
And it seemed like it wasn't hidden that well. So it makes me think he had it on his person the whole time or something. But it couldn't have, because then Colbert. So he couldn't have had it on his
person.
Maybe
he's a flim flam man.
He's a flim flam man. He's the flim flam man.
But
baby.
I also
he's a flim flam man.
Appreciated
baby.
How much proper Star Trek style storytelling there was in this A plot, where Culber, even though again, yeah, it's a little like ridiculous if you
it was
think
a little
about a real thing. The idea of you have to learn to be nice. You have to prove that you're nice in order to get the clue. That's kind of awesome compared to so many times where it's like, to get the clue, you have to bribe the person or murder this person get past the booby trap.
It was funny because the answer was to like be nice to the
it was kind of like the Gambit, the conclusion to the, remember when we discussed Gambit, where it's the Vulcan weapon that reflects like evil, it reflects emotions, but it's totally useless if you just are like feel nice. If you feel all happy, then it doesn't impact you.
Right. They had to be all nice to those carnivorous quadrupeds, and it made me think
Felis Catus.
It made me
your taxonomic nomenclature.
It made me think about how it was the exact opposite of like that Mandalorian episode where he had to go to like some cave
and murder.
He had to murder
a beautiful dragon creature.
Yeah, so he could take his eggs and feed it to like the fucking Jawas.
They're all like glopping. All like glopping in it.
And that was like the heroic ending to that story. And it was like
that was an upsetting episode.
That was a little bit of a bummer. Yeah.
At the same time, I kind of dug that they did that because it's
right.
So fucked up.
Yeah, I know. So I can't be too mad at him about it. But I mean, this isn't direct opposition.
I eat eggs.
Yeah, eggs are good.
I love a soft boiled egg. Jesse doesn't eat eggs.
Good.
Good. More for you.
Dan and I eat all manner of eggs.
You eat like lizard eggs?
I was having a little bit of a trouble.
Loggerhead turtle eggs.
Loggerhead. I'll show you a head of my log.
Oh, wait, no, dude.
Let's do this again.
What?
Edit it out.
It's funny because there was a joke about a turtle head right there.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Anyway, you were saying, Dan.
I was saying I was having a little trouble getting into Culber's character, Janal character at first. It was like throwing me off.
It was a lot, but I in the end,
But over time, I started getting used to it. But at first, I was just like, well, this is weird.
I was not 100% into the creatures, the whole cloaking and this, that, and shooting the barbs.
Weird bugs.
It was cool. I mean, I appreciated it.
You know, they have the ability, they have superhero powers. They can zap themselves anywhere they want. And they did that during that battle.
Sometimes,
And like, for superheroes, that's enough for them to easily win a fight. So you'd think that they could easily fuck that thing up if they can just zip zap around.
But I guess the idea
want.
Is that they don't want to. And again, which I
well,
like.
Well, they don't want to, right.
It's the Star Trek style.
What if they had found the clue? Actually, no, they wouldn't have been able to find the clue because it wasn't there. But I was just saying, like, what if they searched through that whole rock and were able to do that and somehow keep the carnivorous quadrupeds at bay?
You like?
I can't remember what they're called. they're what are they?
I never caught with.
Not learn it. I didn't pay any attention.
They're not Inu raptors. Those were the things that those. By the way, those Inu raptors, that little body that the thing ate. You could tell it was a little CG there.
It didn't eat much of it either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like why'd they leave so much behind?
It was a lot of sand.
Inu raptor. I'm trying to figure out what now. I'm trying to figure out what the name of this fucking creature is. Anyways, yeah. So they could, when they're fighting this thing, you'd think they could have. Okay, what if, no, this is what I'm saying. I was saying, what if they were able to keep the alien creatures at bay and search through that spot they were supposed to search through, and they were like, there's nothing here, you know? Then what?
Yeah.
For real, dude.
I get what you're saying now. Yeah. I was confused at first.
I'm not really sure where I was going now that I said
you're interrogating the plot somewhat. But again, that we just need to not worry too much about the actual mechanics of the plot, because they are a little bit simplistic and silly and not entirely coherent.
I like this part. I could totally relate to this.
Is it on three or after three?
Yes.
Right, is it 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3? Go.
Like, that was on the money for me.
And then how he just ran out.
He just ran out. I guess, was he trying to be a hero or was he just like that excited? I couldn't tell.
You know, it's a good question. It was funny.
And then later when Burnham was going to like pull that thing out on three, and he was all like,
what happened?
Yeah, right.
After three, Michael. Yes.
And she's
good advice.
Doesn't hurt as much when you're not expecting it.
Oh, that was another rush line.
Doesn't hurt as much when you're not expecting it.
He didn't need empathy powers to tell us that.
Doesn't hurt as much when you're not expecting it.
He didn't need empathy powers to tell us that.
Doesn't hurt as much when you're not expecting it.
He didn't need empathy powers to tell us that.
That's true too. It doesn't hurt as much as when you're expecting it. I remember I was like in the doctor's office and they had to pull some shit out of me. And that sounds
okay. Hey Jesse. Should we? I don't know. Should we press Dan on exactly what he was referring to? Because
they had to pull.
If I had only heard it, I would have said, Dan, you know what? I want you to provide more details. The problem is I saw Dan miming the doctor's pulling something out of him, and it makes me a little nervous. Okay.
It wasn't
any effort was made.
It wasn't anything unusual. I'll just say that.
I don't know.
Don't turn
that.
Me into something unnatural.
I had two tubes in me. I had two tubes in me.
Two tubes.
And he had to pull both of them out.
Oh man!
And the first one, he just yanks it out of nowhere. And I'm like, whoa! Oh,
but
he just like walks up and
but the second one, the second one, he did it all super slow.
No, but it was, what was it, Jesse?
Did they have to sew you up or something?
I think it just healed on its own after they took it out. I just had, I just had a hole in my stomach.
The human body is so amazing and gross.
I know. I just had this hole in my stomach for a while. Oh, but God. Like the first one, he pulled out all fast, like out of nowhere. I was like, bah! But then the second one, he was like, okay. And I was like, I knew it was coming this time. And he pulled it out. And I was totally like, that sucks. Because I knew it was fucking coming. It's true. It's true. The way he pulled it out was really frightening too. Because he didn't like kind of gently pull it out. He just fucking whipped it out. Made me think, like, what if it gets stuck on a part of my intestines and like pulls my fucking guts out?
Pull your fucking guts out.
It wouldn't be pleasant, but you know, it'd be kind of hilarious.
Like, we pull this guy's let's do it.
We just pull this guy's guts out. Whoops.
What happened to Dan? Oh, he got his guts pulled out.
It's just a crazy idea.
I like that they mention the Dominion War.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And Janal, and it all makes sense, right? So the chase in TNG, which this storyline is based off of, that was season 6, season 7, whatever it was, late TNG. And then after TNG, these scientists that were part of this, some of them got together and grabbed some people, and then they went on this search for this device. Now, we've only heard about this device in cryptic terms from Janal. Stamets has done some analysis and discovered some information.
But I don't know that Stamets really discovered. What he said wasn't really discovering. He was imagine the application. It's like he didn't need to decipher all that Romulan tricorder stuff to figure out the applications for that. Like, that just goes without saying. If you can create life, you could probably do all sorts of other shit too.
Yeah.
So I believe he discovered stuff through that tricorder, but nothing he expressed to us was evidence of that.
I think we were meant to understand that he did have a greater understanding.
Yeah,
but it's not like he has the blueprints for the thing, right? Blueprints. It's just he's got some information from the blueprints. Thing. But it's cryptic. It's all presented to us as very cryptic, which is fine. I get nervous sometimes when you have it's like the whole Lost style mystery box stuff where you're like, okay, what's going to happen at the end?
Yeah,
like it better be pretty good. Now in season 4. Species 10C, I think, turned out pretty rad. It was like, wow, this is some pretty rad. Like the shit that this was all leading to was totally
you're
awesome.
You're talking about in Discovery, yeah.
Yeah, because remember they had to. Yeah. It was another mystery thing, and then they find slug tentacle creature.
The thing with like shows like Lost is They introduced these like powerful questions and like you were like, what the fuck's gonna happen? And on their way to find the answer, they get distracted and then they give you a new question to look for. So you forget about the old question. It's like you keep going this like fractal sort of nested sort of plot line where you're on your way to solving one plot, you get distracted with another plot. On your way to that plot, you get distracted with another. You never quite resolve anything, but you're always in a state of wondering what's coming next. Yeah. And then
it's
before
like
you
browsing
know,
Wikipedia.
Yeah, hyperlinks.
Hyperlinks.
And so you're
hypertext
eventually
to transfer protocol.
So eventually you're so deep in it you don't even remember what the original you don't even care what the original was anymore, and that can be annoying because that's kind of like just cheating people along like with a but it's, I still they're still fun to watch those shows. But I'm not saying Discovery's doing that.
No, but it's look, I'm enjoying this program. I think Discovery's great, and I bet the end. I have a high level of confidence that we are going to lead to a fun, interesting conclusion here.
I find that the so far the episodes I'm thinking are more fun than they were last season. Yeah, there was a couple episodes last season where I was just like,
it was intense.
It was well, there was a few episodes where they took something small, like that one episode where they were trying to break into the ship, and it was like a whole every little thing they did was an entire episode. And I guess you could say that's cool because they broke it down into, but
it stretches things out.
The things that's the thing is they didn't the way they implemented it didn't feel cool as it could have been, because like you said, some things felt stretched out. I was like, okay, I get it, just like jump 10 minutes ahead to the next part. Like if you can find a compelling way to make this, it wasn't always compelling the way they were trying to get to what they were doing.
And I think one of our and it's not just us, I think one of the common criticisms of Discovery is that it's maybe the kind of show that doesn't need the it was 14, 15 episodes a season sometimes. This season it's 10 episodes, which I think can bode well. I do miss the era of the 26 episodes, 24 episodes a season, but that was episodic. Where you can have, that gives you the opportunity to have some character-focused episodes, some cheaper, quieter episodes, that sort of thing.
Some throwaway episodes.
Exactly, and then some will be shit.
Well, Strange New Worlds could have followed that pattern.
Yeah, but you know, Strange New Worlds is the kind of show where Lower Decks that might benefit from actually having more episodes because it would give them some breathing room to do some of these other things. Mm-hmm. But if you're telling a season long arc, I really think those more concise lengths are helpful, so that you're not just spreading things out, you know, like the Bilbo Baggins, you know, spreading butter over. Too little butter over too much bread kind of business.
Yeah, that made me feel sad inside.
It should. That was my intention. I wanted to take a small amount of happiness from you this evening, Dan.
That's how he gets off.
It's like thinking about butter spread through over too much toast. Your soul is like falling apart. Yeah. It's very sad.
About jam?
Jam. Too little jam. Yeah, see, the problem with jam is if you don't have enough, like butter... if you've only got a little butter, it's fine. But if you only have a little jam,
a little butter,
you might as well not bother.
Right.
You know,
it's like not having enough shaving cream or something.
Yeah, there's a threat. Exactly. There's a
sure, it's worth it.
A threshold you need. But yeah, so I'm happy that they've got 10 episodes this season to keep things tight, keep things concise. I like that they're structuring things a little bit more to have single episodes, because it's another critique. As much as we enjoyed the fourth season of Discovery, one problem it had and one problem that I think we saw throughout Picard was that because they're telling this grander tale, different components of the story are advancing at different rates. And so that you'd have tonal weirdness, you'd have fast paced and then slow paced, and then but they're not related. And so like this thematically, they didn't always connect. So far, this season of Discovery, each episode, despite having components of this season long arc, they've still focused on certain thematic elements. Mm. And this episode more so even than the first two, where you have these four stories we're following, and they've each got a beginning, middle, and end in this episode.
Yeah, right.
Which is great. And I think that makes it that much more enjoyable and easier to digest.
Yeah, so on the one hand, with the Saru and Trina story, I'm really enjoying it. On the other hand, it's kind of slight. At least it was so far in this episode. It was just a very basic, like one simple idea of.
But it was
like,
basic. It was also basically two scenes.
Yeah, you know,
maybe
right,
two and a half. Which is why it didn't drag.
Yeah,
it just was like, here's the problem. Here's the complication. Here's the solution.
I like seeing them together, and I like watching. I find I enjoy those scenes with Saru and Trina.
Have you looked
together.
Up Rule 34? Saru,
no,
Trina,
I have not.
Sex
no,
porn?
No.
Do you think it exists?
No.
You don't think it exists?
It's horrible.
I'm not saying that we have to search for Rule 34. Sorry, what? Trina. Romantic, you know. I don't mean anything purient. I mean something loving. You don't want to see some loving depictions, or what about what about some slash fiction, some fan fiction? So it's not even an image. What do you think?
Can't make sense of.
I'm not trying to degrade their relationship.
No,
I think it's beautiful because I.
There's
agree.
No way.
you doth protest too much. You might be one of those. I want to find out if Dan is a one of those fanfic authors that goes under a pseudonym, and you're like one of the most prolific sexual fantasy writers.
I'm not. You can believe me.
I read those books about the dinosaurs.
Oh yeah, that's Chuck Tingle. Chuck Tingle's fantastic.
Like dinosaur butt with the butt mask. Seriously, dinosaur
folks,
butt.
Folks at home, those who are not aware, look up Chuck Tingle. Get his books. You will not be disappointed.
This is my favorite book.
They are worth the price just for the title alone.
Okay, so speaking of cryptic, and I think they might have done this on purpose, but Saru was meeting up with. He's like an ambassador, right? And he was meeting up with that guy, basically telling him, "You're not going to get your starbase,
but
you're
going to those people."
You say you're not going to get your starbase, but we're going to give you security because our planets need protection too. And the way that was presented, it was presented with Trina. He's like, "I've got this idea to present to him. I'm not sure it's got a controversial position," but they never actually outright say what his position is. They imply that it's like they do talk about like. All that starts with the guy saying, like, well, we need a starbase. And he's like, you know, well you'll have security.
It's
like,
it's a bureaucratic situation. Yeah, well, yeah. Limited resources. Well,
what I'm saying, one second. Okay. What I'm saying is.
1 second alarm. 1 second alarm, everybody. 1 second.
They sort of give the result of the they don't give you the subject of the conversation. They don't give you his policy. They don't tell you what it is he's trying to enact. They just give the sort of reactions to what it is he's trying to enact. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they might have done that on purpose in saying, like you said, it's this bureaucratic meeting. It doesn't really matter what the policy was that he was enacting. But I just thought it was interesting that they never actually outright stated what that policy was. I don't know.
Well, I agree that we do not get the full picture of what the policy is. We can infer that originally certain promises were made with regard to the building of actual star bases in certain systems, and that for one reason or another, probably related to resource allocation.
Well, in TNG,
new plan has been developed that's going to result in some in not in no star bases being built, but in being built in a different order. That's my understanding. My interpretation.
I feel like, and obviously this is in TNG, but I feel like in TNG they would have been like, well, what did they think about the treaty where you have to blah blah blah, you know, the new arms treaty with the blah blah blah, and they say, well, they don't like the position, and they say, well, what about the building treaty and this treaty and that treaty? They would have. Like told you what treaty it was.
Yeah, and then Deanna Troi would have said that she senses concern. All right.
There's no way.
Whoa. Hey,
it's horrible.
That music indicates that.
Good.
It's time for us to go to a break.
It'll be fine.
We have
It'll
to take
be
a
fine.
Break. It will be fine.
It'll be fine.
We just have to take a quick break.
All right.
After we conclude our break activities, we will return, and that will let us wrap up our conversation of Star Trek Discovery Season 5, Episode 3, Jinal!
Thank you, but now I can rest.
Be right back.
You look great, kid.
We're back!
All right.
You thought we were
you
gone.
You look great, kid.
It's gone.
All right.
We are back and better than ever, and you all are going to enjoy the
what?
Last section of the show.
Or what? You won't.
No, they will,
what?
Jesse.
Okay, cool.
I guarantee
what?
It.
All right, then.
We have all what? Sorts of surprises up our sleeves for you.
What?
In this closing section of
what?
The It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What?
I can't wait.
Me
what?
Neither. I'm so excited
to bring
what
all these delicious
what?
Things.
All these delicious surprises.
There's some kind of salsa music. I can't hear you.
What?
There's some sort of salsa music. Okay.
What?
Welcome back. We're going to fade that. We're going to fade that right back out there.
What was that?
What year is it? Right.
Have you lost your mind?
It's 1998, Dan.
I often wonder.
It's 1998. And we are ready to go, ready to talk about Star Trek. You all have been sitting, waiting patiently at home.
Oh, Itranok. That's what those things were called.
Itranok. Oh, okay.
I even had a sound file done.
Sure it's worth it?
Oh my god. Oh, I'm dizzy. All right. None of that. Let's get back to our regular format that longtime listeners will enjoy.
Itranok.
We're having a little bit of extra fun this week because we got new listeners for a new season of Star Trek.
I can't believe I forgot it was called an Itranok because it was part of my setup to my joke. Do you remember the joke?
I do remember.
Oh, my Lord.
I remember you having a setup to a joke.
No, I had a whole joke. Remember?
I remember there being parts
Remember, you did not have a whole joke?
No. I'll tell it to you again. Yeah, I'll tell it to you again.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Shantara.
The handsome and erudite Captain Saru
and
an Itranok
walk into a bar.
Be like adding a spark to a keg of Caperdine.
Okay.
that was the joke.
Suggestion for the future. If you have a setup that involves saying walking into a bar, then you have to have a clip of Christopher Walken.
See, I'll be damned. You'd be damned.
He'd be damned. You know, some sort of clue, but an actual clue, because it's hard to do an actually a good impersonation of Christopher Walken because he's
just a crazy idea.
Yeah. all right.
Why do I have to have a Christopher Walken clip? Is there a joke?
Is that the setup to a joke?
What?
Why did?
No. It's, God damn it.
All right. No, it's okay.
The individual.
All right. Summer vibes coming at you. It's got Star Trek.
Better pick up the pace.
Week after week for 236 weeks in a row, we've talked about Star Trek from time to time.
What?
Other times we talk about non-Star Trek stuff.
What?
Non-Star Trek stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think we've covered most of that main storyline, the Jinal storyline. But I do want to make one comment. Because, again, I don't want to be critical here. I'm not yet convinced by this whole Maul lock. Like Maul showing up at the end. I don't know. Yeah. I was just like...
She put some kind of tracking goo on her. Some tracking slime.
That I get.
She put the tracking slime on her. How'd she get to the planet without them noticing?
Well, exactly. Look, I get it. I buy it. She's a super duper criminal
or
whatever.
A couple steps ahead.
This was not as bad as when Maul and Locke, unarmed, defeated
an android and its two guards.
And his two guards.
Yeah.
Which I totally didn't buy. And
like
it was
the android alone,
unconvincing
the android
scene.
Alone could have fucking one fucked him up.
But apparently not. Apparently doesn't know how to
you
do
nothing.
You
ever seen Data fight? Data just casually picks someone up by one arm and tosses him across
Data
the room.
Data opens up doors, man.
Data's like in the Lost Gospels of, you know, when they talk about Jesus as a teenager when he was just like murdering people left and right.
Gog
know?
And
Data
Magog.
Was doing that too.
Okay. What?
look it up. So this is for me so far, and I hope it changes. I'm willing to accept that it can change.
Trouble in Paradise, genius. So,
and it's nothing against the actors or anything. I think the actors are doing fine. It's just I'm not yet understanding or buying into this whole Maul and Locke being these. They're able to defeat the Federation and Starfleet, and they appear everywhere and anywhere and can get into anything.
Well, they haven't shown enough, like, info on them yet. Maybe they'll get to that.
Yeah, you know what? Our only background is that Maul was the daughter of Cleveland Booker, the mentor of our very own Cleveland Booker.
Oh, titular. I see.
And that's how he knows her. She must have had a rough life without parental figures, I guess. We can make some assumptions, but I don't know. To me, it's not quite enough to buy into. They haven't done enough, I think, to convince me that these characters can do this believably. Now,
no, you're right.
Maybe that can change.
I don't believe
maybe that can change. Everything else, I'm totally digging. I'm having a good time.
Then we already mentioned this. I mentioned this. They brought Jet Reno back. Yes, yes. Jed Reno.
Good for you, Dan. Yes, you did
mention last time that. I did this, they gave me chips.
No chips this time.
I don't know. I just love Tig Notaro's delivery.
She's fantastic. She's great.
It's so distinctly like her. And it almost takes me out of it for a minute, but I don't care because it's just so entertaining.
She's made her own character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instantly classic character. And I'm glad that we get to have a few more appearances and get to look forward to this. You know, we'll see once or twice more throughout the season.
I hope so.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. I like how when Rayner was talking about how he learned all these things from 20 Words or Less from people, and then he got to Tig Notaro, or he got to Jet Reno, and I was looking forward to him like analyzing her, and he's like, should I go on? I was like, but I was like, I get they did that on purpose.
Well, why don't we go ahead and talk about that storyline, because I enjoyed that. It was one of the more enjoyable storylines because it was concrete and interesting character development for a new character that we've just been introduced to in the last couple episodes. Mm-hmm. And it harkens back again to the older style Star Trek, where they would take time to have these little vignettes with people so that we'd learn about them.
Oh, and, who's next?
And what I really like about this particular setup is that he's, on the one hand, he's sort of presented as like, oh, he's a hard ass. He's a, you know, that's just his thing. And so that's why he's being a dickhead. But the way they tell the story and the way the actors portray things, it's almost more like he has like social anxiety or something. Mm. It's almost like he's building a defense. There's something else going there. It's not just, oh, I'm a hard ass, and this is what I think should be done. He almost doesn't even seem to buy that. Mm-hmm. Because at the very last shot is him kind of looking forlornly at all these happy people socializing, but he doesn't join them yet.
Yeah, and at the end, like when he was all talking to Tilly, trying to smooth things out, she wasn't even like, "It's cool, dude." By the end, she was still just like, "Man, get your shit together."
Yeah,
you know? and then even at the end, over the narration where Gray was narrating over the end, he says, "We must choose."
Or doing that, Gray was doing the
whatever
to specify
voiceover.
It was a ritual. It was a trill ritual.
Yeah,
that happened to also thematically link to all the individual stories that we were seeing.
And he says, we must choose to connect not just with others, but also with ourselves. Then he says, sometimes we fail, and it showed Rayner, and it said, sometimes we succeed, and it showed Tilly laughing.
Yeah.
So they're just straight up saying, like, Tilly's killing it, and Rayner is fucking it up somehow.
This was for me...
Tilly's always killing it.
This was for me one of the best parts of the episode, because it wrapped things up, and it demonstrated that there was a thematic relationship between the different story arcs that all, again, had their beginning, middle, and end components within this episode. And that narration from that trill ceremony, it worked very well to pull everything together in a way that maybe wasn't 100% apparent as you're watching the episode, because you're all, you know, you're just all wrapped up in the story and the excitement and all that stuff. So
is your end my middle?
Wait a second, is that some kind of deep cut? No, that's inside baseball?
That's one of the classic Jesse non sequiturs.
I think he's like referencing something I say to him sometimes.
Is it the penis in the mouth thing?
Penis is my mouth.
I think it shows up on the podcast from time to time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's not exactly.
Or mouth is penis. Yeah.
Mouth is penis?
Yeah. Something like that.
Something along those lines.
It's dirty.
Speaking of connection, at the beginning.
Speaking of connection, mouth is penis.
I actually didn't mean it that way.
Is your mouth my... Okay.
That's...
Okay, just to clarify, there's a playful little game, a playful little
playfully
tradition
abusive
between these two, where Dan is often asking Jesse if his mouth is his... If what is it? Is you say, is your mouth my penis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or is my penis your mouth?
No, I don't say that.
He would never say that.
I wouldn't say that.
He's like, is your mouth
it's
my penis?
It's always confusing.
It is always a little confusing.
It's a peculiar but enjoyable, fun little tradition.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, dude. Continue.
Back to the podcast.
Anywho, back at the ranch.
Speaking of when Gray was saying, we must choose to connect. And that's interesting because Burnham actually says at the beginning.
Burnham.
She says connection is a choice to Rayner. And I have to only partially agree with that statement.
Yeah.
Because connection, yes, you can choose to connect to people, but sometimes it's fucking hard to connect to people.
Right.
It's not as easy for everyone.
I think he has social anxiety.
Right. That would make sense. Yeah.
That is masked by his
weird ears.
Rigid, by his rigid
Yeah, well, we don't know. We still don't know what species he is.
Yeah, we do. He's a Kalaran. We know that.
From no, Deep we don't.
Nine. Yes, we do. We talked about this last
did
week.
Did we?
Yes.
Oh,
he
Lord.
Says a lot of human
you
phrases.
Never,
he's
just
really
never
into...
pay attention to me.
You're right.
He's
just turn it off.
On season two of Deep Space Nine, I forget which episode, the Kalarans are introduced, okay. And they have goofy ears, and they wear their hairs and hair and buns.
Okay.
Hair and buns.
So,
is it an Armageddon game?
The way that this episode presents this this connection thing, yeah. Since both Gray and Burnham say that, it's like the writers are telling us that like connection is a choice. It's not just the characters yeah. are telling us that, the writers thematically are telling yes. us that connection is a choice, and I disagree with that.
Yeah.
It's true to an extent, but some people are straight up better at it than others. And like you yeah. said, social anxiety would answer the thing, but I don't know if that's what they intended, because yeah. like they're trying to make us believe that connection is simply a choice, and yeah. I don't know if I fully agree with that.
I agree. I was a little thrown off when Burnham was talking about connection being a choice. And I understood what she was
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I understood what they were getting at, totally. But I didn't quite...
It was the whole, you know, Sith and absolutes
yeah.
and
it's
stuff.
An irresponsible right. statement.
The irresponsible. Old that's right. That's Jesse, you put it well. It's an irresponsible
Thank
statement.
Thank you, sir.
I'm enjoying Rainer's character, though. I like that little fly in the ointment.
He's really into human
he's
phrases.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah,
he was.
Well, I think he's made the effort to learn them because he's in Starfleet.
But when he said,
"But I can walk and chew gum,"
I don't know if he used that correctly.
I don't know if he really knows what he's saying.
I don't yeah. think so, because she goes, "Zora's already Oh yeah, I also liked how like okay, so he's talking about how he's going to monitor.
Should have said like play ball or something.
He's talking about how he was like, "I'd rather sit here and monitor the situation so I can figure out when Maul and Locke are yeah. in the area," until he's like, "Computer does that, dude," you know, yeah. and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna." It's like he's old school,
yeah.
But at the same time, this is the 32nd century.
It's the fucking yeah. future, dude.
So it doesn't matter how old school you are in the 32nd century, you're gonna be aware of
yeah.
tech that's at least 1,000 years yeah. old, which is computers find shit like that faster than humans.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Dan.
But it could have just been an excuse not to talk to people.
I don't disagree with you, Dan, but I think it's totally feasible that 1,000 years from now, you will have people like you and me who will insist on doing things that don't necessarily need to be done because it just is like, I want to pay attention to what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And when he said, "I can walk and chew gum at the same time," what he meant to say was, "Look, they can come visit me because that way I can keep looking at my screens and fulfill
right.
my desire to look at these screens, and they can walk in and I can talk to them."
Okay,
that's what he's doing two things at once.
Well, yeah, and I thought, well, with two things at once, like
by them coming to him,
one thing
because
sort
he
of
can
happened.
Still
but
look at his screen.
When it was confusing to me because he said walk and chew gum, so that made me think, well, he can walk around and talk to them while looking at his pad at the same
yes,
time.
Yeah, but the
way he presented it made it seem like he couldn't walk and chew gum because he's like, they got to come to me. I'm not going to multitask.
I feel you. It is a metaphor, perhaps an imperfectly placed metaphor, because Tilly was talking about him going on a tour.
Okay, I think I got it.
But you know, he meant it in the context of I can do two things at once if you have the people come to me, because I guess maybe the pad can't accommodate what he wants to do.
Maybe he had the wrong pad. He should have gotten the correct pad.
Could be.
Yeah, that's a two pad operation. I mean, look at that screen. That screen he's looking at, it's big, man. It's got two sides on it. I mean, come on.
He also used the break the ice, which he pissed off Burnham at the beginning. He was all just like, "Ah, you got my job," or whatever. And then Burnham was all like, "Oh yeah," she had to stare him down she had to stare him down and be like, "I'm in charge."
Yeah,
and he was like, "I'm just trying to break the
it's
ice."
It's like he's not used to talking to people for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of weird
because he has social anxiety. I think that's going to be his thing.
And then he had that thing where they had to say 20 words or less. Okay, check this out.
That was great.
So we know Reese is...
Oh, good. I was wondering if Dan was going to count up all the words.
How do you know where I'm going with this?
Because I know you, Dan. Because
it's the 236th episode.
We've been doing this podcast for quite some time.
You know me. So Reese, he starts when he says,
"I'm a real shiphead."
So he goes, "I'm a real shiphead. Love the crossfield, but something about the curves of a 23rd century Constitution class mm-hmm. just gets me."
And I agree with him.
And Rainer says that was 22 words. Or was it 21 words? Is shiphead one or two words?
Well, what number results in it being 22?
Well,
if it's two words,
yeah, I mean, that's basic math, right? That's arithmetic. If it's one word, then it would be one less.
That's arithmetic.
I was an English major. I'm a math major.
So shiphead would be 22 words.
My name is
shiphead.
Dinger.
As one word would be 21 words.
I think you can. I think I'm trying to think grammatically of shithead, which this is obviously a parody.
That's with a T.
That might be two words. It's probably acceptable to spell it as shithead as a single word.
I think, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think probably technically.
Shithead.
All right. If I
probably
text,
two words.
If I try to text Dan shithead.
All right.
So does it say it's a typo?
Well, you should, in order to make sure that it's as clear as possible to the spell check, you should text Dan that he say, Dan, you are a shithead.
Yeah.
You want it to understand the grammar. Otherwise, right. It's not going to necessarily give you the right correction.
It says shithead's fine.
With one word or two words?
With one word.
We'll try it with two words and see if it still thinks.
What about when things are hyphenated? That counts as two words.
It depends. Oh, you mean like, because you can hyphenate. So like if you're
don't forget to hyphenate.
Well, okay. Because if you have an adjective that you're applying.
If you ever hyphenate something, it never tells you it's a typo.
That's true. Yeah, the computers are not yet that advanced.
I think hyphen words can be thought of as one or two words, but I think they're generally two words, okay. But I don't know. It's a question. Okay, here's another one, though. Tilly says...
Oh.
Okay, here's Tilly's...
Back to the podcast.
This is Tilly's 20 words.
Here are my 20 words. Yeah. You're on a new ship, fresh off a demotion, trying to hide how hard that is by being a giant... Well, that's 20 words.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Now, was it actually 21 words? Because she begins the sentence with She begins the sentence with
You're
Is an utterance and not a word. Or do you mean as in a, the,
as in
the word
U,
a?
As in U-H comma.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count as a word. You would elide any uhs or ums.
But when you look at closed captioning or transcripts or whatever, is spelled out as its own word.
Look,
it's not
counted. You don't count
when you look at it on a page, it's not called a word. It's called an utterance. When you read the word off a page.
This is a nuanced difference. If you were doing word count, yes, a technical word count. However, in this case...
But nobody ever does that.
The 20-word limit is implicitly understood to refer to the words that are communicating the information that the person speaking the words intends to get across to the audience.
I see what you're saying, but
does not
count. No, wait.
Is
a word allowable in Scrabble? A word.
Well, this isn't Scrabble.
This is not Scrabble. This is communication.
But it's a word.
No.
It's a word. I think it's arguable.
Look, Dan, I'm going to tell you two things. Thing number one.
Oh, shit.
I would fight and die for your right to believe in whatever nonsense you want to believe.
But sabotage.
But simultaneously, I would fight and die to stop your kind from fucking shit up.
We're dangerous.
It does not count.
It's right out.
Okay.
Right out.
It's right out.
It's right out.
If you're not careful, you're going to get sacked.
Any other numbers.
For the record, I say it's possibly 21, but I respect others' opinions on that.
He respects.
What?
People's opinions.
Is that the music that means it's time to end the podcast?
It's time to end the podcast. Not quite yet, but soon. We're getting close to the end.
What?
That was a short one. That was good. I like when they actually end. Mm-hmm. Barn.
I know. When things actually end.
All right. Like we are in the end stretch here, but we have a couple other things to discuss. Rainer, I think we've covered most of that business. Adira and Gray, the breakup was, it was a bit abrupt, but I thought it was very realistic.
It was like super mutual.
It was sad, but.
Come on, Space Dad.
I thought well portrayed. You kind of get the impression that they're trying to free up Adira for some plot stuff. Whatever the reason, it works. We get to see Gray, and we see that Gray, he's doing very well in his new trill business.
He's got some hair.
They have a very mature conclusion to their relationship where they're like, look, we still like each other. It's just, yeah.
We don't like each other.
No, I think they even still like each other. They're like, our life circumstances, our
they
ambitions.
They have to live their lives,
This is a very common thing, and particularly for young folks, late teens, early 20s, etc., where you just have to make some
I have no idea what
hard decisions. Yeah, I know. We can't remember back
then. Oh, it's just not the same.
But while it was sad, I enjoyed that we got to see it in an interesting and mature fashion.
It wasn't that sad. Like, you feel, you know, hopeful that they're just going to, they're making the right choice or something. Like,
I think you're right. I think that's the other thing that makes it, it undercuts any sadness.
We know Adira's going to go on and have some adventures on Discovery.
Yeah, they're going to have a good time and help save the universe.
So Adira says, I can put in for more leave and I can even ask about transferring. And then Gray goes, I wouldn't want you to do that for me, just like you wouldn't want me to give up this up for you. I think that's presumptuous. How do we know that? Maybe Adira would do that.
But I believe it,
but it's just presumptuous. It's still presumptuous.
Well, I wouldn't go so far. I don't.
Maybe
I think
they've had a lot of off camera conversations that would make it.
Dan.
Maybe he knows Adira well enough to be able to say that with confidence.
Exactly. Word. So I what I was going to say, and I didn't want to be too cute about it, but I was going to say, I think it might be presumptuous for you to assume it's presumptuous.
Ooh, you're so adorable.
Because of exactly the reason you suggested, which is that Gray knows Adira very well. So they probably know the deal. Okay.
I've played three clutches.
And what's the remaining storyline that we haven't talked about? Oh, yeah. The Trina Saru.
We already mentioned that
briefly.
We did
touch base on it. I did like the whole political aspect of it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it was cool that they had Trina note to Saru. She's like, I didn't fucking ask for your help, bro.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. In the 32nd century, far. There's still this like tendency for guys to want to like...
Saru's from the 22nd
century. Yeah, it is true. But even in the 22nd, that's still... Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
He's from a primitive
planet.
But still,
okay. He's from...
They're
maybe
called Kelpians because they eat kelp.
That's all they do is eat kelp. They grow kelp. They fish it out the lake.
So maybe if Saru was from Earth, it would be problematic because, like, 22nd century, you'd think we'd have that down by then.
Well.
But he's from Kelpia or whatever.
It gave us...
Where's he from?
Kaminar.
Kaminar, not Kelpia.
No, but it was originally, I think, in the before they actually said it on screen, I think it was often people thought it was going to be Kelpia. Or I think even some of the early Discovery novels, they say it's Kelpia. But then somebody was like, you know what? That's silly. That's a really silly name. But I didn't want to forget that they had that great line that Saru had. Saru mentioned that Vulcan proverb, to rush a Saylot is to risk a goring.
Rush a Saylot is to risk a goring.
Yeah, I thought that was a fantastic line.
That's a wonderful addition to Star Trek lore.
Yeah.
I also am curious to see whether this is the conclusion of this little storyline bit or if we will hear more, if this is setting up more about Vulcan purists and et cetera.
The Saylots were like the pet, like a child.
Yeah, Ichaya was a Saylot. Yeah. And he got lost in the Langhorne foothills.
So Saru severed
okay. Seashells by the seashore.
Okay, we're doing that thing again where we're harping on just you mispronounced a word. It's this is very very sophisticated humor here.
Lampu.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm looking through some old sound effects.
Okay.
Let's try to find Saru.
Saru never experienced conflict with anyone he's loved in this way. That was what he said with Trina.
Yeah.
And then Trina goes, conflict is a natural part of any relationship. Given that transitive property, we can then assume that he's never loved anyone in this way. Because if he's never if he's never had conflict with anyone he's loved in this way, and if Trina says conflict is a natural part of any relationship, that means he's never loved anyone in this way. And that couldn't even mean he doesn't love his parents, because he's never had conflict with them.
Okay.
But maybe in love in this way, he meant like people he has sex with.
I'm pretty sure.
So we can leave his parents out, but I think we can safely say he's never had a relationship like this.
Yeah.
Or it could be that every previous relationship he had did not end due to conflict, but ended due to the death of his partner.
That's really dark.
Possibly by his own hand.
That's dark.
Right. Or he's got those things that shoot out.
Do you think in the last season of Discovery?
He didn't when he lived on Kelpia.
Yeah. Do you think in the last season of Discovery they'll reveal that
that Saru used to be a horrific serial murderer?
Probably not. I'm guessing. Probably not. Okay. All right. Okay.
Tilly was saying, like, when she was all talking about, like,
a very big planet,
which was Trill.
A very big planet. Yeah.
She said it was 500 million kilometers of surface area.
500 million kilometers of surface area.
Yeah, exactly. Which means
a very big planet
is what it is.
Yeah.
I looked it up, and Earth has 510 million kilometers of surface area.
Oh,
so Trill is actually smaller than Earth by a little bit. So, but she says it's
a very big planet.
So is that, by that, are we supposed to think that she thinks Earth is also
a very big planet?
I don't know.
Because Earth is, according to Tilly, according to her information, 500 million kilometers for Trill, and Earth is 510 million kilometers.
And Tilly's from Earth, right?
So Earth must be a very big planet to her too. Or they got their facts wrong.
Somebody wrote it wrong.
Dan, I think you've provided evidence to make your argument essentially unassailable. You have an unassailable argument.
Right. Evidence!
Good for you. That's pretty much going to do it for us. I'm sure we have a couple of bits and bobs. I did, of course, want to mention Sluggo Cola. Tilly's drinking a Sluggo Cola, which
really?
We first saw in Deep Space Nine. Yeah. That's what Rainer says looks radioactive.
Oh, well, when he's all saying that thing.
That looks radioactive.
Yeah. Sluggo Cola. So that's
not even that dude drinks that shit.
DS9 callback.
I want to mention that, like, the whole scene where Book was trying to talk to the Itranok, and like he couldn't do it at first because they were blocking him.
Yeah.
And then Burnham like made her phaser go away and she walked up with her arms out. Mm-hmm. That meant suddenly they listened to him and he was able to talk to him. I thought that was a pretty big risk.
It's like when the Itranok walked into the bar.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that would work?
I get what Jesse was doing. Did you see what he was doing there?
I saw.
But you just went right past it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, that. Like, I don't think most animals would see that as, like, if the animal wasn't letting you talk to it before, I don't think that what they did would be enough to convince them to talk to you now. But I could be wrong. What do I know about Itranoks?
You know what, Dan? I will say, could be wrong. It's possible.
I could be wrong.
There's a chance.
I mean, I'm not complaining about it. I just thought, like, wow, that's a lot of faith they put in that maneuver there. You know? But it worked.
I liked when Dr. Pollard... We was talking about like the gross Bynar brain disease. It was, it was really horrifying.
And Rainer's like, she's looked into the face of like the abyss. And
he's like, I'm not going to fuck with that lady. Yeah. I love Dr. Pollard. She's great.
We haven't seen Owosakun, at least barely.
I was actually very confused because Tilly was like,
they made a point of saying Owosakun's up next.
We didn't see Detmer.
Yeah, we didn't see. And it's like weird that they brought her up and then just like.
Were they not in Toronto that day?
Maybe
it might be as simple as that.
Yeah, maybe.
Just shooting schedule.
Just not in Toronto.
Tilly was risky rude to Rainer. Like she was talking.
Risky rude?
Yeah, she was talking to him like all sternly and like you're not supposed to talk to your superior officer.
Well, and I think she gets the advantage of both she's sassy, awesome Tilly, but also that's not her main assignment, right? Is discovery. She gets to be that kind of voice of the, even though we to us she's Tilly and we've grown with her and watched her advance in her career. This is a temporary assignment. She's gonna be fucked. She's gonna go right back to Starfleet Academy as soon as she's
Starfleet Academy.
Gray says there's so many different kinds of relationships when they're talking about how to manage
swinging.
Theirs.
He was talking about swinging.
Yeah, because I was saying there's really only
open relationships.
There's only two types of relationships: open and closed. There's no spectrum between open and closed relationships. What other kinds of relationships? Oh, no,
there's probably a spectrum.
There's a spectrum, and it's like, well, is there kissing or no kissing?
No, Dan.
Dan, let me tell you how it is, Dan. Let me break it down for you. What you need to understand, Dan, is you got to get your head out of your ass first.
I'm firing Marshall Bell. Let me tell you something. No, it's
what year is it?
There's different structures and rules that people, even in an open relationship, there's a spectrum of openness.
Like kissing or no kissing.
Like kissing or no kissing. Yes. Okay.
Kiss.
Right. You know what I meant.
I'm not 100% sure.
I said kissing or no kissing, and you said kissing to try to make me look foolish.
No, I thought you were trying to emphasize something by saying kissing.
Okay, well, my bad.
I wasn't trying to call out a stutter.
I didn't mean to be defensive.
Okay, no, it's all good. We are at the end of the podcast. So, Any other bits and bobs otherwise?
Music. We should play the end music.
I think Rainer should have played.
Two, whoa. Three, four.
It's time to end show.
What year is it?
We hope you all had a good time.
I was going to say.
It's an evergreen.
I was going to say that Rainer could have been played by Billy Bob Thornton, and that would have been funny.
Yeah.
Okay, that would have been funny, Dan. Good job.
You would have had a cool accent.
Sure. We hope everyone has had a very good time listening to tonight's episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We will be back again.
And if not, well,
this time next week.
What?
To discuss the next episode.
Huh?
What year is it?
We know the episode title, but I forget it right now. I don't have it in front of me.
What?
But you'll know it.
What year is it?
And,
what?
And what in the meantime, if you would like to send us in
what?
An email, you can get it to us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Feedback.
Feedback. Or you can send us a voicemail also to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or www.itsgotstartrek.com/record.
Have you lost your mind?
What year is it?
We're going to have a lot of fun next week.
What?
Even more fun
what?
Than we had this week. If
what
you'd
year
like
is
to chat
it?
With us online, social media, you can find us at
Are you sure?
It's Got Star Trek.
What?
Jesse's dying over here. He might not even be with us next
what?
Week.
Are you
and
thinking what
Star
I'm
Trek,
thinking?
Facebook, YouTube.
What was that?
You can find us fucking everywhere.
Everywhere.
Don't even fucking worry about it. You got it.
Long day already?
Yeah, this has been a very long
you
day.
You ask a lot of questions. What year is it?
I got up at 7, dude.
All right, we're going to let Dan sort of tire himself
what?
Out.
What?
But
what?
From
what?
Me, from me and Jesse and
Dan. You lost your mind.
We wish you all the best. Hope you have a good one. Talk to you again.
Good evening.
Next week. Bye-bye.
Shantara has ended.
Saurians reproduce asexually, but we do not meet our progeny. They're instead raised by the community. I've laid 3 clutches.
Okay.